السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته شيخنا، أحسن الله إليك.
إياكم أبو عامر، how are you?
الحمد لله.
I'm sorry please for coming to this class late. Can we go on now?
نعم شيخنا.
طيب، إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا. وسيئات أعمال من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Our readings are from the book Al-Adab al-Mufrad by Al-Imam al-Bukhari رحمه الله. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, as we have repeatedly mentioned, has compiled this book on al-adab, the manners of the Muslim and the conduct of the Muslim. This is one aspect that many of the Muslims today who do not pay good enough attention to. Many of the Muslims today, we do not pay good enough attention to learning the manners that Islam has taught to us. Many of us think after we observe Salah, after we fast in the month of Ramadan, go for Hajj, that's all of Islam. But we forget to really learn and adopt the manners of Islam. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari had written this work over 1,200 years ago to document for the coming generation what is it that the Prophet left behind, alayhi salatu wasalam, as lines of conduct, as manners for the Muslims to adopt and bring about in their life. Likewise, he kept in documentation for us the lines of conduct of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, as they had learnt it from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. Last week, we came to the chapter about Babun La Yasluhul Kadhib, the chapter about that lying, telling lies, are inappropriate. Lying is inappropriate. La Yasluhul Kadhib. Lying is inappropriate. And in that hadith, widely reported by the companions, radiallahu anhum, amongst whom was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiallahu anhu, and this report from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam warned us about telling lies. He said, wa iyyakum wal kadhiba. I warn you, iyyakum wal kadhib. I warn you against lying. Because lying forces the individual to become reckless. It brings the individual to recklessness and sinfulness. والفجور يهدي إلى النار. And sinfulness يهدي إلى النار. It causes the individual to come into the fire. We remember that Allah said to us that wa innal fujjar la fi jahim, wa innal fujjar la fi jahim. That's what Allah said in the Quran, and the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, wal fujur yahdi ila an-nar. Being sinful, sinfulness, evilness, being full of iniquities, yahdi ila an-nar. It will bring the individual into the fire. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave us an illustration. He said, wa inna ar-rajula la yakzibu hatta yuktaba inda Allahi kazzaba. The individual continues to tell lies, becoming oblivious of it. Perhaps we can say he'll be telling lies regarding things he will consider small. He will consider small. He will tell a lie. We say it's a small lie. We tell a lie. We tell a lie. And then he begins to tell tell lies regarding big things. And then he begins to tell lies regarding Allah and his messenger, because that is the worst form of lying. Iftira'u ala Allahi al-kadhiba. Telling lies and ascribing them to Allah. This is from the worst of sins anybody would commit. But it would start from the person telling lies regarding things that are smaller. He tells lies. And the example, Prophet, the example that Al-Imam al-Bukhari gave to us in this book, in the hadith that followed that, hadith 387, was the narration from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that some of the people will be telling lies and saying that we are joking. He's a skit maker. Oh, he's telling lies. He's a comedian and he's telling a lie. Oh, he's a filmmaker and he's lying in the film. Oh, he's a drama. It's a drama. But it's all about lies. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu highlighted this point from the last hadith that he reported from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That la yaslufu al-kadhibu fi jiddin wala azlin. La yaslufu al-kadhib. Don't tell lies. La yaslufu al-kadhib. Lies are inappropriate. Fi jiddin wala azlin. Whether you are serious, wala azlin, or you are joking, don't tell a lie. Whether you are acting a drama, don't tell a lie. Whether you are being a comedian, don't tell a lie. Liars, local kazib. Some people say, oh, I'm a skit maker. Don't tell a lie. Liars, local kazib. Fi jiddin wala azlin. Oh, I'm writing fictions. Fictions are lies. Imagine that someone sits down, gathers your children, and begin to tell them lies. Will you accept that your children sit with someone? All he tells them are lies. Or you go into bookshops and you buy books of lies and bring to them. Lies that were told by the enemies of Allah to propagate their enmity towards Allah and his deen. Many of the women today read Mills and Boons. And it is the lifestyle they got from Mills and Boons they want to live as Muslim women. How can you load your mind, your attention, your heart, your thought process? You loaded it with the lies in Mills and Boons, and you bring the same thing to marriage as a Muslim woman. What kind of results do you think you'll get? So many of the people had paid too much attention to the lies of people, so much that their own lifestyle is almost becoming a lie, a reflection of the lies that they had imbibed over the years. Some of the people, their lifestyles today are reflections of the lies of non-Muslims they had learned, they had read, they had imbibed. They were lies, empty fictions. And they were taking them as they read them, imagining them to be true. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said to us, radiallahu anhu, la yaslufu al-kadhibu fi jiddin wala hazlin. Whether you are serious or joking, lies are inappropriate. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa innal rajula la yakzibu hatta yuktaba inda Allahi kazzaba. So the individual will go online, whether in a joke, fi hazlin, or fi jiddin, hatta yuktaba inda Allahi kazzaba. He was joking, he was joking, he was lying. He was just writing a book, but he was lying in it. He was just acting a drama, he was lying in it. He was just entertaining the people, and he was lying in it. Hatta yuktaba inda Allahi kazzaba. He goes on like that until he becomes documented with Allah as an ardent liar. May Allah protect us from this evil. It is not from the character of a Muslim to tell a lie. Fi jiddin wala hazlin. Whether it's in the circumstance of seriousness, wala hazlin, or it's in the circumstance of joke. May Allah protect us. And as small as parents do to their children, wala an ya'ida ahadukum waladahu shay'a, thumma la yunjizu lahu. Some of the people will ya'ida aw ya'idu waladahu. Ya'idu waladahu shay'a. he will promise his child, come and take. And then he will not give him anything. You promise a child, oh, my son, come and take. If you do this, I'll give you this. And then, la yunjizu lahu. He will not fulfill that promise to that child. It is also considered from the aspects of lying in Islam. La yaslukul kazi. Lying is not tolerated in Islam. May Allah protect us all. The next chapter we looked at last week in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, was about being patient over enduring hardship, enduring hurt people direct towards us. Al-Imam al-Bukhari mentioned that hadith of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam that was reported by Abdullah ibn Umar. That is hadith 388, wherein the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalitu nas. Or al-Muslim alladhi yukhalitu nas, the Muslim who relates with the rest of the Muslims. He relates with his wives. He has a wife. He has children. He has a neighbor. He has relatives, both close and far away. He has people everywhere. He meets the people in the masjid when he goes for salat with Jama'ah. This person, he relates with them. He says taslim to them. He gives them food. He provides them water. He does good things to them, and they do good to him too. وَيَسْبِرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَىٰ. But if something discomforting comes to him from them, there is other, there is hurt, there is discomfort they bring to him in the course of relating with them, and yet he is patient over it. This kind of a person, خَيْرٌ, he is better than the one who la yukhalitu nas. He does not relate with the people. He does not have a wife. He does not have a child. He ostracized himself, disconnects himself from his family. He disconnects himself from the congregation. He does not talk to anybody in his neighborhood. He just goes all alone. You see this kind of a person? The number of taslims he will say per day will be very few. The number of good words he will say to the people will be very few. The number of kind advices he will give to people will be very few. The number of discouragement he will discourage people from evil will be very few. He's just alone. So you see, his rewards will be small, all things being equal. And he will not also find somebody to tell him something good. He will not find someone to advise him. He will not find someone to tell him not to do something wrong. He will not find someone who will greet him. And the both of them will shake hands and their sins will fall off their hands. He will not find all of these. So as he will not impact people with goodness, he will not find anybody to benefit him too upon goodness. This kind of a person, la yukhalitu nas, he is not relating to the people. And so he has no heart to be patient over regarding them. I like to quickly highlight two issues here before we proceed to the next chapter. The first issue is that, oh brothers, for the sake of Allah, as good as the company you keep may be, as learned as the company you keep may be, as conscious regarding the limits of the Sharia as your brothers may be ready that sometimes they will hurt you. Be ready that sometimes they will hurt you because they are human beings. No matter how good your neighbors are, sometimes they will hurt you. No matter how good your wife is, no matter how good your children are, they will do things to you that you will find very, very displeasing. So from the manners of Islam is that you endure them. If you do not endure them, Allah said to us in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً أَتَصْبِرُونَ. This is just in the meaning of this hadith. We have made some of you a trial to others amongst you. أَتَصْبِرُونَ. Will you be patient and endure? So be patient. No matter how good the company is, be patient. And that also goes to tell us that as Muslims, we should not keep bad companies. Don't keep the company of those who negatively influence you, and then you become a bad person. This hadith is talking about keeping company with good people. Allah had warned us in the Quran, Ya ayyuha allatheena amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin. O you who believe, ittaqullaha, fear Allah, wa kunu ma'a as-sadiqin, be with those who are ever truthful, honest people. Those are the people that you should relate with. And then the messenger said, alayhi salatu wasalam, ar-rajulu ala deeni qalilihi. The individual comes to become upon the religion of whomever he makes his friend. فَلْيَنْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِي. So let each of you look deeply and consider appropriately who do you make a friend. So when you now make good people friends, the first point I like us to note from this hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar, hadith 388, is that no matter how good your company is, you will still get hurt sometimes from your brothers. This is the first point that I like us to note. You will get hurt. So you should be ready to be patient with the rest of the Muslims. The second point I like us to note here is that this hadith, the hadith of the Muslim who relates with others, makes us understand that in every dealing with our brothers, we should like to give them benefits. That is what makes us better than the one who is not relating with people at all. You like to extend benefits. You like to extend benefits. You like to prohibit him from something negative. This is the aspect of the khayriya, the goodness, the betterness of your relating with them is because you bring benefit to them and you keep away harm from them. It is better that you are relating with Muslims. Why? You bring good to them and you protect them from evil. Your doing this makes you better than the one who is not relating with them. So let's keep it in mind. In our dealings with our brothers Muslims, for the sake of Allah, it should be about mutual benefit. It should be about mutually helping ourselves to become better people and not a relationship to keep with people. And then it's about sending and influencing one another negatively. May Allah protect us all from that. Once you find that in your relationship with a person, all you gain from him are negative traits, negative attitudes. For the sake of Allah, this is not the kind of person. If you cannot bring him to change his attitudes, please keep away from such persons. May Allah protect us all. The next hadith we like to go to discuss, that is hadith 389. It also discusses being patient over the hurt that our friends, our brothers, our relatives, our neighbors direct towards us. So Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah titles it Babun as-sabru ala al-adha, or we can say Babu sabri ala al-adha. Babu sabri ala al-adha, the chapter about being patient over hurts directed to us, enduring hurts. Babu sabri ala al-adha, your brother does something negative towards you, overlook it, endure it, endure it. Your sister does something and it is hurting and uncomfortable, endure it. Your older ones, your uncle does something, endure it, endure it. Try to sustain your relationship. Your wife does something, endure it, endure it. Because no matter how good they are, as we mentioned, there will be days that they will misread, they will misunderstand, and then some negative behavior will come from them towards you. And it will come from you towards them too. Many times we only look at how people direct hurts towards us. Is there any one of us who, for one reason or the other, deliberately or by mistake, has not had to hurt someone else? You have had to hurt someone else too. So as you wanted that person to overlook and endure the hurt that you either mistakenly or deliberately directed towards him, the same way you should endure the hurt that your brother or your sister or your wife or your neighbor or your friend or your colleague at work will mistakenly direct towards you. The way you want to be forgiven, that is the same way and even more, you should also forgive others. The way you want them to endure your hurt, that is the same way you should also endure the hurt of others. So this chapter is about enduring hurt. We are really encouraged here to endure hurt, to endure misdemeanor directed towards us. Because if we do not do so, then we'll not be able to keep relationship with people, no matter how good they may be. And like we had highlighted earlier, no matter how good a person or a people would be, there will be a time that some way, somehow, hurt will come from them towards you. So as you enjoyed the benefit, please, for the sake of Allah, endure the hurt. Endure the hurt. Endure the mistakes. Let us learn it. Because it's easier said than done. But we are saying now, enduring hurt. It's easier said than done. But let us go on, bismillah, to read the narrations in Hadith 389 and Hadith 390 from Al-Imam al-Bukhari in his book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. The Imam said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Musaddadun, Qala Haddathana Yahya ibn Sa'id, and Sufyan, Qala Haddathani al-A'mash, and Sa'id ibn Jubayr, and Abi Abdurrahman al-Sulami, عن أبي موسى عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ليس أحد أو ليس شيء أصدر على أذى يسمعه من الله ليس أحد أو ليس شيء أصدر على أذى يسمعه من الله وإنهم ليدعون له ولدا وإنه لا يعافيهم ويرزقهم ليس أحد أصبر على أذى يسمعه من الله وإنهم لا يدعون له ولدا وإنه لا يعافيهم ويرزقهم. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله has reported this hadith from his Sheikh مسدد. And we read a number of ahadith from Al-Imam Musaddad, that is Abu al-Hasan Musaddad ibn Musarhad, rahimahullah, from amongst the scholars of hadith. He was amongst the students of Al-Imam Ahmad, and he was from amongst those who had compiled a book of hadith even before Al-Imam al-Bukhari. He is Musaddadun Ibn Musarhad Abu al-Hasan Rahimahullah. He reports from his Shaykh Al-Imam Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan. He was from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad. Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan was from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad Rahimahullah. And he is reporting from his Shaykh Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri. Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri, he was from amongst the first of those who were called Amirul Mu'minin fil Hadith. Sufyan ibn Sa'id ibn Masruq al-Thawri, rahimahullah. He said, Haddathani al-A'mash. Haddathani al-A'mash. And Al-Imam al-A'mash, the last 3 to 4 ahadith were from him. This hadith 389, it was from the report of Al-A'mash, reporting from Yahya ibn Wahtab, the last hadith also, hadith 387, was also from Al-Imam A'mash. It was reporting from Mujahid ibn Jabr. Hadith 386 was also from Al-A'mash. It was reporting from Abu Wa'il, Shaqiq ibn Salama. This hadith also has come from Al-Imam A'mash. His name is Sulaiman ibn Mihran, Abu Muhammad, rahimahullah. And this time he's reporting from Sa'id ibn Jubair. Sa'id ibn Jubair was a very, very young person when he passed away. He passed away at age 45 or 46, Sa'id ibn Jubair. And he was considered from amongst the best students of Abdullah ibn Abbas. From amongst the best students of Abdullah ibn Abbas was who? Sa'id ibn Jubair, from amongst the Tabi'un. And he is reporting this hadith from another Tabi'i, Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami is that well-known student of Uthman ibn Affan. Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, the well-known student of Uthman ibn Affan, he reported a number of ahadith from him. He also even reported the Quran from a number of the companions, radiallahu anhum. The ulama refer to him, Ifikana Fikatan Kathir al-Hadith. He was a very, very reliable person in his deen, Kathir al-Hadith. He has reported a lot of ahadith. So in this hadith, we have two eminent from amongst the Tabi'un. We have Sa'id ibn Jubair. We also have Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. His actual name was Abdullah ibn Habib. Abdullah ibn Habib. But he became popular with his kunya, Abu Abdurrahman. Sometimes the people become mashhurun bil kunya. That is, a mashhurun bil kunya is a person who becomes popular with his kunya to such an extent that his name is almost forgotten. Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami is in this category. He was very commonly known with his kunya, Abu Abdurrahman. You can have a brother, Abu Abdullah, Abu Abdullah. Everybody calls him Abu Abdullah to such an extent that he almost forgot his name. You can have a brother, Abu Hikmah. Abu Hikmah is so popularly called Abu Hikmah to such an extent that the people would almost forget his actual name. Then you may have a person be called Abu Nasir, Abu Nasir, Abu Nasir, to such an extent that everybody almost forgets what his real names are. In this case, Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami was so popularly, widely known with this name to such an extent that the people almost forgot his name. But Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, his real name was Abdullah ibn Habib, and is reporting from Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. The same thing applies. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari was more popularly known with his kunya, huwa min al-mashhurin bil kunya min ashabi Rasulillah radiyallahu anhum. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhum. He is the one reporting this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam about enduring hurt, about forbearing, about being patient when hurt come to us from people. What did the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wasalam? He said, Laysa ahadun aw laysa shay'un. Laysa ahadun. There is no person. Aw laysa shay'un. There is no being. Laysa ahadun. There is no person. Aw laysa shay'un. Or there is no being. It's clearly this doubt either. What was the actual word the Prophet said? Did he say laysa ahadun? Or did he say laysa shay'un? This doubt would have come from one of the reporters. I think the Prophet said laysa ahadun. There is no one. Or that he said laysa shay'un. There is no being. Which one did he say? Okay, let me say he said it to either this or this. Imma laysa ahadun or laysa shay'un. So laysa ahadun. There is no individual. أو ليس شيء or there is no being أصبر على أذى يسمعه من الله أصبر على أذى there is no being أصبر على أذى there is more patience regarding an enduring أذى يسمعه hearts that he hears someone hears something that he doesn't like there is no one no being أصبر على أذى يسمعه there is more patience regarding things uncomfortable things that he hears you hear something you don't like it you are patient over it there is a being that is more patient than you min Allah and that person is Allah that being is Allah the one who is patient over things people say to him or people say about him yet he is patient The one who does that absolutely most is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wa salam, Laysa ahadun aw laysa shay'un asbara ala adhan yasma'uhu min Allah azza wa jal. There is no person or laysa shay'un. There is no being asbara ala adhan yasma'uhu min Allah. That is most patient. Enduring Adhan Yasma'uhu. Thoughts that he hears. There is no one that is more patient enduring the thoughts that he hears like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the most patient. When people say thoughts to him, Allah is patient. The Prophet went on to explain to us, alayhi salatu wa salam, وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَدَّعُونَ لَهُ وَلَدَ These people yad'una lahu walada. They ascribe in falsehood. They claim children for Allah. They claim a child for Allah. Yad'una lahu. They ascribe in falsehood to Allah. Walada. They ascribe a son in falsehood to Allah. May Allah protect us. And Allah told us in many places in the Quran. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ Allah has not given birth to a child. Allah said, I don't have a child. I have not given birth to a child. And yes, the people ascribe a child to Allah. And yet, he's patient over that. The Prophet said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَدَّعُونَ لَهُ وَلَدْ The people falsely ascribe a child to Allah. Arabs used to ascribe daughters to Allah. They say that the malaika, the angels, are the daughters of Allah. And the Christians say that Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah. So they say these things to Allah. And Allah has prohibited them from saying it. And it is something that is very big in the sight of Allah. Allah told us in the Quran, وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا These non-Muslims go about saying that Allah has taken a son. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا Allah says, this thing that you have brought, it is شَيْئًا إِدَّا It is something that is very obnoxious. Something that is very, very bad. Despicable. How do you say that Allah has had a son? Takadu samawatu yatafattarna. Takadu samawatu yatafattarna minhu. Allah said the heavens are almost blowing up asunder because of that statement. Watanshakku al-ard. And the heaven is almost blowing up. Watakhirru al-jibal. And the mountains are almost blowing up. Hadda. They almost blowing up. Sakta. The jibal, the mountains want to tear up. Why? And the awli rahmani walada. Because they claim that Allah al-Rahman has had a son. Allah says, وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْرَحْمَانِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا سُبْحَانَهُ مَا يَنْبَغِي لِلْرَحْمَانِ it is not appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala an yattakhidha walada, to have taken a son. It is not appropriate for him to take a child. So Allah has no child. Yet these people, la yad'una lahu walada, they still ascribe a child to Allah. Yet in this their bad, negative, despicable ascription of a child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa innahu la yu'afihim, when they fall ill, la yu'afihim, he is still giving them sound health. You see, a non-Muslim has malaria, Allah cures him. He has kidney disease, Allah cures him. He has eye problems, just like other Muslims too. He makes the drugs they take become efficacious. And many times they may not even take a drug. He still pardons. He provides them fear, well-being. He protects them from accidents. When they sleep, he does not allow insects to go into their ears. He provides accommodation for them. He gives them his food. Because the rice they grew from the power of Allah. It makes it easy for them. They eat, they drink, they sleep, they marry, they have wives, they have children. All of these have come from the well-being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided them. وَيَرْزُقُهُمْ. And then he provides them risk. Both Muslims, non-Muslims, gives them risk. You have fresh air, you eat food, you have water. All of these things Allah has provided them. Despite the fact that they say evil regarding him, they ascribe a child to him, they ascribe evil to Allah. Say, I don't have a child. Say, no, he has a child. Some of them even go to say he has a mother. Like the non-Muslims. Say, he has a mother. So if you say Isa alayhi salam is Allah, then they ascribe the mother, Maryam, to be the mother of who? The Allah protector. So all of these that they say, yet Allah bears them. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's patient, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa ahadun asbara ala adhan yasma'uhu. There is no one that is patient, enduring adhan, heart, yasma'uhu, that he hears. In this hadith, there are a number of attributes of Allah in it. The first one is that Allah is as-sabur. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qayyim has mentioned this from this hadith. That one of the things this hadith proves is that Allah is what? As-sabur, the one who is absolutely patient. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the attributes of Allah we get from this hadith is that yasma'uhu, Allah hears. Allah hears. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then from the things with which we can describe him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that yu'afi nas wa yarzuqu. Of course, is al-Razzaq, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the one who is absolutely providing for everyone. This hadith, we would understand it more if we know that amongst human beings, for example, you have someone who provides everything to you. The day you abuse him, he will stop it. The day you insult him, he will stop it. If there's a rich man who beats his chest, I feed you, I give you drink, I give you clothes, I give you shoes, I even build the house to you. Should you be the one insulting me, he will stop it. But as for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he provides the people all that they need. He gives them health, sound health, he makes them sleep, he makes them wake up, gives them oxygen to breathe. And in all of these, you cannot pay for them. He provides us water to drink, fresh air, sleep. Can we buy sleep? Yes, Allah provides us sleep. He also provides us wakefulness. We know how much oxygen began to be when, during COVID-19, some of the people, may Allah forgive those who passed away during it, some of the people only had to survive with the help of oxygen. Yes, we knew how expensive it was at the time. Yet Allah has given us, for those of us who have spent 20 years, for 20 years you have been breathing this oxygen for free, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet you go about disobeying him. And some of the people, like the non-Muslims, go about ascribing a child to Allah. Yet he has not withdrawn these good things. He has not withdrawn these favors. There is no one like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Laysa ahadun asbara ala adhan yasma'uhu min Allah. Laysa ahadun yasbiru. Laysa ahadun asbara ala adhan. There is no one who is absolutely more patient and enduring over adhan yasma'uhu, over hearts that he hears min Allah, like Allah. So the point is, if our Lord is and overlooks like this for us and patiently leaves us like this, despite what people say to him, he still gives them sound health. He provides them food to drink, food to eat, water to drink. Yet he does not punish them just because they make him, you know, they say to him, they say regarding him what he has prohibited regarding himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how about the rest of us? And nobody should be a god. And nobody is actually a god to anyone. So all of you, the godfathers, please step down. Reduce your compelling influence over the people because you're a means of benefit to them. And when any mistake comes from them, you want to descend upon them as if you have created them. Allah has not done that towards you. So be patient with the slaves of Allah. Be patient, endure, overlook, forbear. Take things easy with the slaves of Allah, as Allah has taken it easy with you. Otherwise, if it were for your sins alone, you should not have a bread this morning. So if this is the case with our Lord who provides us everything, then the rest of us, we Muslims, should know that we have a duty to endure hurt from people. I think we can quickly go to the next hadith, hadith 390. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Umar ibn Hafs, qala haddathana Abi, qala haddathana al-A'mash, sami'tu shaqiqan yaqul, qala Abdullah, qasama an-Nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qismatan كبعض ما كان يقسم فقال رجل من الأنصار والله إنها لقسمة ما أريد بها وجه الله قلت أنا لأقولن للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فأتيته وهو في أصحابه فصاررته فشق ذلك عليه وتغير وجهه وغضب عليه الصلاة والسلام حتى وددت أني لم أكن أخبرته ثم قال قد أوذي موسى بأكثر من ذلك فصبر. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reports this hadith from his Shaykh Umar ibn Hafs. Umar ibn Hafs is Abu Hafs al-Kufi وكان من العلماء الأثبات. He was from amongst the well-grounded ulama in his time in Kufa. He is Umar ibn Hafs, and he is the son of Al-Imam Hafs ibn Ghiyas. He is the son of Al-Imam Hafs ibn Ghiyas, radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah. He said, Hadathani Abi. His father, who narrated to him, was Hafs ibn Ghiyas. He said, Hadathana Al-A'mash. Al-Imam al-A'mash has occurred again in this isnad, لِأَنَّهُ مِنَ الْمُكْثِرِينَ. He was amongst those who reported a lot of ahadith. Al-Imam al-A'mash, Sulaiman ibn Mihran. Now he has occurred in about 5, 6, 7 ahadith in series from hadith 386 to hadith 390. Al-Imam Sulaiman ibn Mihran al-A'mash has occurred in every isnad of those reports. And he is reporting from his Shaykh Abu Wa'il Shaqiq when he said, Sami'tu Shaqiqan. That is شقيق ابن سلمة أبو وائل الثابت. شقيق ابن سلمة أبو وائل would mention that he was a ثابت, but he was also a مخضرم. The مخضرمون are those who had accepted Islam before the death of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, but they were not able to physically meet with the Prophet عليه السلام. And one of them was Shaqiq ibn Salama Abu Wa'il rahimahullah. He was a well-known student of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The last hadith we read from him was also from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Shaqiq ibn Salama kana min ashabi Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. And he has also reported this from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu anhu, qasama an-nabiyyu sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallama qismatan. The Prophet gave a sharing. The Prophet shared some things. In some other reports of this hadith, in Sahih Bukhari, in Sahih Muslim, it said that it was after the battle of Hunayn, after Ghazwatul Hunayn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some booty. So he gave a man called Al-Aqra' radiallahu anhu ibn Habis, he gave him 100 camels. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Al-Aqra' ibn Habis 100 camels. The man was a very rich man. He was a very influential person. If he was attracted to Islam, it would be beneficial. He was given 100 camels. The Prophet did that too in many incidences. Giving a person 100 camels is like saying, give him 100 Land Cruiser jeeps. Because camels were very, very, you know, expensive things of value at that time. So the Prophet gave him 100 camels. He also gave another man something like that. So he gave some people things. So when he gave that sharing, Kabar bima kana yaksimu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, this distribution that the Prophet gave, alayhi salat, that was how he would do sometimes. We remember that during Fathu Makkah, he gave Abu Sufyan to about 100 camels. And he asked him, do you want more? Do you want more? Do you want more? And he would do this, alayhi salatu wassalam, as we have in other reports of that hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam did that, لِيُؤَلِّفَ قُلُوبَهُمْ, so that he will bring them nearer, he will attract them more to Islam. We remember that in the verse about distributing zakawat, that is the way we distribute zakah, and there is a group of people we distribute the zakat. إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَةُ لِلْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَمَنْ والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم. The people whose hearts we want to attract to Islam. They are not Muslims, non-Muslims. But if we give them some sort of gifting, they will be attracted to say, oh, this Islam likes good things. That was why Ibn Mas'ud said, كَبَعْضِ مَا كَانَ يَقْسِمُ. This thing that the Prophet gave to the people, he had been giving the like of it. We remember a man, this hadith also of Prophet Sahih Muslim, that some of the sheep of Zakah was being carried from one place to the other. And a man saw it. Who has this? Says Muhammad and his community. Can you just give me one of? He said, take everything. The man ran back to his community to announce that there is no person that is open-handed like Muhammad. Everybody come and accept Islam. And that was why Anas ibn Malik said, radiallahu anhu, there were people who got gifts, things like this from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. That when they now understood Islam fully, they gave all those things again also away in Islam. But it was with the same things that they were attracted. So that was why when the Prophet gave that distribution, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiallahu anhu, there is nothing strange in it. He used to do so too. كَبَعْضِ مَا كَانَ يَقْسِمُ. that qisma that he gave, it was kabadi ma kana yaqsimu. It was like, oh, that kinds of wealth distribution that he will do. So there's nothing strange in it. But when the Prophet did it, qala rajulun min al-ansar, one man from amongst the Ansar said, wallahi, from the people of Medina, one man said, wallahi, innaha laqismatun ma urida biha wajh Allah. I swear by Allah, this is a distribution that has not been made for the sake of Allah, subhanallah. The Prophet had distributed it, but not for the sake of Allah. Is wallahi innaha laqismatun ma urida bihi wajh Allah. This is a distribution, this is a kind of a sharing. Ma urida bihi wajh Allah. The face of Allah, that is, it is not a sincere distribution. He said that regarding the Prophet alayhi salam. Qultu ana la qulanna lin nabi sallallahu. Bilal ibn Rasul said, he said that regarding the Prophet. Ana la qulanna lin nabi sallallahu. I will certainly report this matter to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Ulama say, this is evidence. When a person makes a statement that can affect public peace, report him to police. Report him to appropriate quarters. If the person makes a dangerous statement, audaciously, someone comes and does something, this thing is bad. Likewise, someone says something bad about people, we don't know anything about them except goodness. Someone comes in public, he says something bad about people that we don't know anything about them except goodness. Then we should be careful about that statement. And from the things we can do is to bring that statement to the hearing of those that statement had been made. More so if those people will be thinking that those persons are good people, we are together. And he has, so you can say such and such about me. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, ana, for me, la aqulanna lin nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will certainly report this man to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. Fa ataytuhu. So I went to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa salam. Wa huwa fi ashabihi. And at the time I met him, he was in the company of his companions. Fa sarartuhu. So I whispered these words to him. When I went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kana fi ashabi, he was in the midst of his companions. Fasarartuhu, sarartuhu. So I whispered this statement. I said it to him secretly, Messenger of Allah. So and so and so and so has said such and such and such about you. Fashakka dhalika alayhi. And that became difficult on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. For someone to say the Prophet distributed something, it was not for the sake of Allah. What is this? فَشَقَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَغَيَّرَ وَجْهُهُ. That became very hard. شَقَّ عَلَيْهِ. It was hard on him, عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَتَغَيَّرَ وَجْهُهُ. And his countenance changed. وَغَضِبَ. The Prophet became annoyed. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. حَتَّى وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أَخْبَرْتُهُ. His countenance changed. His anger became so clear that what did to Anni, I began to think that perhaps Lam Akun Akbartuhu, I should not have informed him. Subhanallah, the Prophet's face changed. This is evidence also. Sometimes when a learned person becomes angry in a place, people begin to say, don't become angry. You can become angry. What remains is for you to control the anger as the Prophet controlled the anger. Anger is from the basic human traits and character. An individual can become angry, whether pious or unrighteous. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ghadiba, he was angry. Watadayyara wajhuhu, his countenance changed. Wa ghadiba, hatta وَدِبْتُ أَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أَخْبَرْتُ. His countenance changed so much that I wish that I had not informed him about it. ثم قال. Then the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And that is the difference between himself and us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In control of that anger, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَدْ أُوذِيَ مُوسَى بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَصَبَرَ. Musa alayhi salam was directed, hurt, was insulted, was given a statement that he did not like. أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أو بِأَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was shown hurt like that were directed to him. فَصَبَرَ. Musa was patient, meaning that I will behave like Musa alayhi. I will be patient as Musa was patient. I will be patient as Musa was patient. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bore that. He endured it. He endured hurt. So in your relationship with people, be ready that they will hurt you. You should also be ready to endure the hurt. Oh, Fadila to Shaykh, when you relate with your students, be ready that they will hurt you. Oh, Imam. Oh, Ustad. Oh, husband. Be ready that hurt will come. When that hurt comes, tasbiru ala azanas. You will be patient over the hurt that people bring towards you. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was patient. Even our Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the non-Muslims ascribe a child to him and he will endure it. He's absolutely patient. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is as-sabur. They will ascribe a child to him, yet he will still give them sound health. Wa yarzuqhum. He will still provide them rizq. Yet they will ascribe evil to him. For the sake of Allah, the lesson here is, we all should try for the sake of Allah to increase our quotient, our endurance quotient over the hurt that people bring to us. We should learn to endure it. We should learn it. And like I said at the beginning, it's easier said than done. When you are hurt today, let's see how you are going to react. When someone directs hurt to you today, let's see how you react. And we know that character is learned. If you begin to learn how to endure hurt, you soon become someone who is enduring, who patiently endures the hurt from people. I beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us understand these narrations better than I have tried to explain. Abu Amir, do we have a few questions we can address this morning?
Naam, Shaykhana, jazakumullah khair.
Ameen wa antum, fa jazakumullah khair.
Okay, this question has been coming in for weeks now. So the question I asked, Assalamu alaikum. May Allah reward you with Jannah. Please, should a lady inform a fiancé if she has a cyst in a private region which may interfere with intimacy or cause some deformity if removed? Yes. Is that not saying it's considered deceit?
Well, alhamdulillah, things like this that will infringe upon basic matters of marriage to be disclosed. Things that will infringe upon foundational matters in marriage to be disclosed. Things the way it has been described, it will infringe upon the basic matters of marriage, it should be disclosed. It should be disclosed so that the other party is aware of it before it begins to manifest in marriage. If it is not disclosed and it is discovered that it is deliberately hidden, the man has a right to press for separation. The man has a right to press for separation. If it is known that it was known or it was deliberately kept hidden, I know a brother, two brothers, who when they got married, they did not even have any kind of access at all to their wives. No access at all. Because the women had some condition that is now known in medicine. Sometimes it comes because of sihr, and sometimes it comes because of a certain medical condition that a woman will find it hard to have her private children open up during intercourse with family. So, but if it is not a case that is known before marriage, and it's not known, it just happens, then the husband and the wife will find a way to resolve it. But if it is something like a growing cyst, as was described, growing in the private region of the woman, then he has to let the man know that from the beginning, so that he's aware of that, because that will affect a major aspect of the marriage. I hope that it is clear. It should not be kept secret. Allahu a'lam.
I'm Sheikhana. Jazakum Allah khair.
Ameen, one.
The second one here, Rizal. Some people are introverts and find it difficult to relate with people. Is this blameworthy? Please advise. May Allah reward you.
These narrations are from the things that make us understand that we need to open up with people, say taslims to people, extend goodness to them, teach them something that will benefit them, give them good advice, prohibit them from evil, relate with them, buy from them, sell to them, relate with people, relate with good people. Relate with people we have been talking about. Yukhalitu nas, yukhalitu salihin, not evil people. I think we mentioned it in the class. Islam wants us to keep away from bad people. And it encourages us to relate with people who will be means of benefit to us, means of goodness to us. We also will be means of goodness to us, to them, like they will be means of good influence to us. Allah said to us in Surah Al-Anfal, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The Muslims, the people of Iman, بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. A group amongst them are companions, are helpers of another group amongst them. So بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ is with respect to the people of Iman. So people of Iman are together, people of Islam are together, people of Sunnah are together, they relate and they exchange goodness amongst them. As for someone who is, as described, an introvert, you should improve upon your relationship with the people so that you gain more rewards in your relating with the people. So it means our relating with the people will be something that is of choice and something that is deliberate. It is something we will deliberately want to do so that we can earn the pleasure of Allah from it. I hope that it is clear about Amir.
Naam, Shaykhun.
Naam.
Exactly. Now, I want to combine two questions here. The question is, we've heard in the past that As-Sabur is not from Allah's names. So can you please elaborate on Allah's attributes and names? From the hadith, we first read, you affirmed Allah as As-Sabur, as an attribute. Does it mean we can name our children Abu Sabur or Sabura? May Allah continue to preserve you upon goodness.
Well, I think I deliberately clarified that during that class, during the explanation of that hadith, that Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim mentions As-Sabur as from the names of Allah. I didn't know your previous source to say you have heard that. So go back to the source. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah picks it from this same hadith. So there is no elaboration. This same hadith. Ibn al-Qayyim picks it from this same hadith. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Asbara min Allah. And that is Sigatul Tafdeel. He mentioned it from Sigatul Tafdeel. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah takes it and mentions As-Sabur from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you call your child As-Sabur, there is no blame. And I have mentioned the source for saying that. It was mentioned by Ibn al-Qayyim, and his evidence for saying that is this hadith itself, where the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa salam, Laysa ahadun asbara ala Allah, asbara ala. Adhan yasma'uhu min Allah. The issues on the names of Allah and the attributes, when the clear evidence shows that that is from Allah's name or his from his attributes. And then we have the scholars upon the path of Sunnah affirming it. There is no what kind of explanations we want for that. Al-Qayyim says, rahimahullah, that this is from the names of Allah as-Sabur, and he picks it from the hadith, and the hadith is sahih. So you can bear Abdul Sabur, or a person can bear Sabur, just like he can bear Rahman or things like that. But we should not forget that we are Abdul Rahman and Abdul Sabur, as this case may be, inshallah. So if we want to say, no, it is not like that, there has to be a clear-cut hadith or a verse of the Quran, and there has to be affirmation from the ulama, not issues of hearsay. Here, the evidence says this, and the ulama from amongst them, Ibn al-Qayyim, affirms it and says, As-Sabur can be picked from this hadith as from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope that it is clear, Abu Amir.
No, I'm shaking. Salawat ibn Ali.
Amin wa iyyak.
This one reads, is it tolerable to endure a husband that insists on watching illicit content despite all efforts by wife to stop this sinful act? Then are his female children safe from molestation? The wife is in fear, please.
I think she needs not be in fear. The matter is clear. The matter is clear that the man is upon fisk, is upon sinfulness and iniquity. So she should take appropriate steps after trying to stop him and he is not being stopped. She should take appropriate steps like informing her own parents, informing her parents if they are conscious in their religion. And then his own parents, if they are conscious, or his friends that they know that when they talk to him, he will restrain and stop. She should inform them and then begin to take, you know, more open steps so that the husband can change this evil character. Inform the friends that you know they have good influence on him. If he has a teacher that he respects, inform the teacher who can give some sermon to him to make him stop. Inform his parents if the parents are people of religion so that he can stop. Inform your own parents if your parents have good influence on him so that he can stop. Gradually take these kinds of steps regarding him. They are appropriate steps to take. This is not the matter to say, oh, you are enduring. And I don't think it comes under the matter that we are talking about. But the issue is about dealings between two people, and then someone is doing something to you. What he's doing is not perhaps directly to you, even though it will in the end come back to you. But it has to do with his being a sinful person. So we'll address it as we address matters when a man becomes sinful in the house and unrepentant. Then we take steps to be sure that is made to change from that path of iniquity. Bring people into the matter and then the matter will be resolved, inshallah. Allah will help him over that indecency. May Allah protect all of us.
Ameen.
Jazakumullah. I'm going to try to stop here today, inshallah.
Naam, Shaykh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi.